Today's Shir's Masechta, Sukkah Daf Chaf Hei. We will begin on Daf Chaf Hei Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Shluchei Mitzvah, Peturim in a Sukkah. People who are going to do a Mitzvah, teaches us the Mishnah, a potter from the Sukkah. And Rashi gives a number of examples of people who are Shluchei Mitzvah. One example Rashi gives is somebody who's going to learn Torah, or somebody who's going to meet Hagbel Pnei Rabbi Beregel. The loch is that on Yontif, one is supposed to go greet his Rebbe. And the Mishnah is teaching us, Rashi says that the Mishnah is teaching us that if somebody who's on a trip for that purpose, the loch is that he's considered a Shliach Mitzvah. And because he's a Shliach Mitzvah, that it's because it's a Mitzvah, because the Pasuk says in Melochim that Madua ate lochas alav hayoim lechodesh v'leshabbos. So here we see that shliach mitzvah that going to greet one's rabbi on yontif is considered a mitzvah. The interesting question is this a mitzvah d'oraisa or this a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Because it would have very significant ramifications. The ramification would be if somebody, do we say that, as we're learning a shliach mitzvah, we're going to learn today the sugya of oisik b'mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah. And the question that comes up is, somebody oisik in a mitzvah d'rabbonon, does he not have to fulfill a mitzvah d'raisa? Because here, the person we're speaking about, is Rashi says, is going to be magbel pnei Rabbi Beregel. And if the chiv of l'hagbel pnei Rabbi Beregel is only a chiv d'rabbonon, from here we see that even if somebody is busy with a mitzvah d'rabbanon, he's exempt from doing another mitzvah, even though the other mitzvah is d'raisa. There are those that say that certainly it's considered a mitzvah d'raisa, because the pasuk says, as Hashem alakecha tira, and the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Mem Aleph on the base teaches us, l'rabbis talmid d'chachamim. So certainly, being l'hag b'pnei Rabbi Beregel is a mitzvah d'raisa, and since it's a mitzvah d'raisa, that's why you would have the concept of oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. The next example Rashi gives of somebody who's a shliach mitzvah is somebody who's going to do pidyon shvuyim. And the Rambam in Hilchas Matnas Ani in Parakhes Halacha Yud teaches us, Ve'en lechom mitzvah gedoyla, there is no greater mitzvah than pidyon shvuyim. That somebody is in captivity, saving him is certainly a huge mitzvah. And certainly we're going to have the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. And that's why the Mishnah says that all these people are oisik b'mitzvah, and that's why they're potter from sitting on the sukkah. And the Pnei Yeshua asks, why does the Mishnah want to teach us the halacha of oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, specifically by mitzvah sukkah? So he explains, because the rule of oisma mitzvah, potman a mitzvah, is so much more pronounced in this situation than in any other. Because we know, on sukkahs, one is supposed to eat and drink in the sukkah. This person who's eating and drinking outside the sukkah is not just passively not doing a mitzvah, he's actively not doing a mitzvah. He's eating chutz l'sukkah, and he, still the halacha is that oisma mitzvah, potman a mitzvah. There's a very interesting discussion in the Achronim. Even though, as we learned, and we're going to learn now in the Shir, that the halacha is oisik b'mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah, but the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos teaches us that if somebody's learning Torah, he should stop learning if he has to do a mitzvah. Of course, it has to be a mitzvah that must be done. It has to be a mitzvah that cannot be done by someone else. But if it's a mitzvah that has to be done, and has to be done even by the person who's learning Torah, he should stop his learning Torah in order to do the mitzvah. And the Gemara explains, because the entire purpose of learning Torah is because limud lamed lishma velasis, our learning has to bring us to fulfilling the mitzvahs, and therefore learning doesn't supersede the performance of any mitzvah. Here we're learning, discussed that if somebody is going to greet his Rebbe on Pesach, on Sukkot, he's potter. Now, certainly going to greet one's Rebbe should not be any more than learning. Going to greet one's Rebbe should not be greater than learning itself. So if for learning we're mevatel Torah to do a mitzvah, why for going to learning are we mevatel the mitzvah? So the Or Samech explains that the Gemara Masechta Brachos Dav Zayin Amud Beis teaches us Gadol Shimushoi Yos Milimudai. Learning Torah is even the preparation for learning is even greater than the learning. So if that's the case, yes, for learning, while one is learning, he's not supposed to stop his learning, and he's supposed to stop his learning in order to do a mitzvah. But that's only learning. But when it comes to Shimusha Shel Torah, going to a shir is even greater than being at the shir, and for that you're allowed to be mevatel mitzvah sukkah. So here we see that you potter because Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. But there's a very fundamental discussion, how do we apply the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah? Some Rishonim say that while you're actually doing one mitzvah, you're not obligated to do another mitzvah. And we don't begin discussing which mitzvah is more important, which mitzvah is less important. Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. Other Rishonim, but that means you have to be working on that mitzvah. For example, we're all Oisik b'mitzvah. We're Oisik b'mitzvah when we wear tzitzis. So does that mean if somebody's wearing tzitzis, he doesn't have to do any other mitzvahs? He's an Oisik b'mitzvah? Of course not, because our performance of another mitzvah does not prevent us from doing that mitzvah. Whenever our performance of another mitzvah doesn't prevent us from doing this mitzvah, we don't say Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. So what's Pshat in our Mishnah when we speak about somebody who's doing a mitzvah? Is it that he's actually doing the other mitzvah? Well, what's going to be the halacha? So then if he's actually doing the other mitzvah, certainly we say Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. But let's say somebody is actually not right now going l'hag b'pnei rabbi, but he needs to get a good night's sleep so that tomorrow he can continue his trip. Is that considered an Oisik b'mitzvah? So machloikus Rishonim, and some Rishonim say, you have to actually be performing a mitzvah to be in the category of Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. Others say that you don't have to actually be in the category of doing the mitzvah. As long as what you're doing now will help you perform the mitzvah, then we say Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah, and you don't have to do another mitzvah. I saw in this concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah, that the Sefer Sifzei Tzadik explains why is the halacha Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. Because when one is doing a mitzvah, he's supposed to use all of his energy and all of his resources focused on the mitzvah that he's doing. So if he's supposed to be completely focused on that mitzvah, there is no place and no ability for him to be focused on another mitzvah. And that's why we say, Oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. Continues the Mishnah, another halacha, Cholin, somebody who's unfortunately sick, and therefore, it's difficult for him to sit in the sukkah, umesham sheyim, and those that have to help that person who's unfortunately sick, p'turim in a sukkah, are exempt from sitting in the sukkah. And then the Mishnah teaches us, oichlan v'shoysen raichatz l'sukkah. One, even though, as we just said, one is obligated to eat and drink in the sukkah, and achilas arai, one may drink chutz l'sukkah. So I saw that the Imri Emes asked, that isn't drinking, if you're just drinking whatever you're drinking, isn't that by definition always going to be arai? So what does the Mishnah mean to teach us that shoysen arai chutz l'sukkah? If it's a drinking, isn't drinking always going to be considered arai? So the Imri Emes said that he'll give us an example where you're just drinking and it's not considered arai. And that is when one drinks to kiddush. When somebody is drinking Kiddush wine, somebody's making Kiddush, that's considered an achilas kva. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even though, and the Mishnah is teaching us that kiddush you would have to always make in the sukkah, everything else could be done chutz l'sukkah. So we started our shir with the concept of oisig b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. Ask Gemara Menani Mili, from where do we know that halacha? Says the Gemara of the Tanar Banan, the Braisa teaches us. We say it every day in Krishma. V'shinantam v'necha v'dibar t'bom, v'shivtcha b'veisecha v'letcha v'derech u'v'sharbcha u'v'kumecha. We learn from here, v'shivtcha b'veisecha, teaching us, prat l'oisik b'mitzvah. Where if you're oisik b'mitzvah, then you're not obligated to say Krishma. V'letcha b'derech, prat l'chosin, it's coming to teach us that a chosin, potter, is not obligated to say Krishma, Bikat Amru, and this is the basis for the halacha, that a kohenus is a psula. If one marries as a psula, the halacha is pata, he's pata from saying Krishma, but if he marries as an almana, if somebody is marrying an almana, the halacha is that he's chayiv in Krishma. So Agamara is teaching us that b'shivtecha v'isecha, B'shabbachov Kumecha is coming to teach us when you're obligated to say Krishma in the morning and the evening. And B'shivtecha Beisechov Alechtecha B'derech is coming to teach us Oisik B'mitzvah Pata Mina Mitzvah. So the question is, why do we have to have two psukim to teach us the same concept? So the Rishonim Rashi already says that one is coming to teach us that while you're actually performing a mitzvah, you're potter, and the other pasuk is coming to teach us that not only while you're actually performing the mitzvah are you potter, but even if you're doing preparatory, you're going towards a mitzvah, so you're not actually doing the mitzvah, the halacha is that you're still considered an oisik b'mitzvah and potter min ha-mitzvah. Moreover, the Ritva says that the pasuk is coming to teach us that let's say somebody's obligated to do a mitzvah, but he knows that if he's going to do this first mitzvah, then the second mitzvah, which may be even a more important mitzvah, he will not be able to fulfill. Teaches us the Torah that you do the mitzvah you're obligated to do, and whatever is the first mitzvah to do, that's the first mitzvah that you should do. Even if by doing this first mitzvah, it will prevent you from doing the more important mitzvah, that is not a reason not to perform the first mitzvah. You always have to do the first mitzvah. And the Gemara is teaching us that a chosin is part of a krishma because he's torid b'machsheves mitzvah. And there are many explanations. Rashi explains that he's torid b'machsheves bila. He's thinking about the relations that he has to have with his wife. However, Rashi in Masechet Brachos Daf Yud Aleph has a different approach. There he says shemachashev al esek psulim. He's concerned and thinking, will he find that his wife, who's a psula, is indeed a psula? But why do we have to single out, explain the Rishonim, the Chosin? We're teaching the halacha with Oisik B'mitzvah. So Oisik B'mitzvah, Potam in a mitzvah, as we're learning, is a critical rule in halacha. Why does the Gemara single out the Chosin? So I saw that the Rishonim explained that we would think that Oisik B'mitzvah, Potam in a mitzvah, is one that is actively involved in a mitzvah. But when we think about this chosin, he's not really actively involved in a mitzvah. What he's doing is, the mitzvah that he's focused on is a mitzvah that he's thinking about. And therefore, we would assume that when we're talking about a mitzvah that he's thinking about, there maybe we don't say oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. Teaches us the Gemara that even if it's just thinking about a mitzvah, it's enough to put him into the category of oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. But I saw a very interesting psak from the Shaios HaTshuva Shem Arya, Chelik Yerideh Simet Samech Dalad. He says, even though we're learning, and this is going to be a very big part of our shir, that Oisik B'mitzvah, Potam in a mitzvah, he suggests that that's only if you have two mitzvahs that are mitzvahs Ben Adam L'makam. So the halach is, as we're learning, that if you're busy with one mitzvah, you're exempt from a second mitzvah. But let's say the mitzvah that you are preoccupied with is a mitzvah ben odom l'mokim. And now you have a mitzvah come up, which is a mitzvah ben odom l'chaveroi. Being involved in a mitzvah ben odom l'mokim doesn't exempt you from having to do a mitzvah ben odom l'chaveroi. A very interesting psak. The Shas HaTshuvos Ramah in Simen Pei Gimel says that whoever is oisik b'tzarchei tzibur is considered a oisik b'mitzvah and is part of a mitzvah. The Shas HaTshuvos Tzitz Eliezer, however, in Chelik Yud Aleph, Simen Yud Aleph says that's only that indeed somebody who's oisik b'tzarchei tzibur is considered an oisik b'mitzvah. That's only if he's the only person that could do it. If there's somebody else that could do it, that it's not clear that he's considered an oisik b'mitzvah. And the Mishnah Berurah has another point that he makes around this. The Mishnah Berurah says, yes, oisik b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. And yes, the Rama says that if somebody's oisik b'tzarchei tzibur, he is in that category as well. But discusses the Mishnah Berurah, does that mean if he's getting paid? Somebody's position, somebody's job involves him being an oisik b'tzarchei tzibur, but he gets paid for that position. Is he still going to be considered an oisik b'mitzvah that's potter min mitzvah? Maybe that's not the same. So Tosfos, as we said in Divrei Maaseh Shluchim Mitzvah, points out that only involvement in mitzvah exempts somebody from doing another mitzvah. But if somebody is traveling to perform a mitzvah and stops on the way to eat in a sukkah, and stopping on the way doesn't obstruct him being able to do the mitzvah, so Tosfos says he would be obligated to eat in the sukkah. The Azarua disagrees. He says that certainly if while you're actually doing a mitzvah, you don't have to do a mitzvah, that's obvious. The chiddush is that even though right now I'm not doing the mitzvah, but I'm going to do the mitzvah, and because I'm on the way to do the mitzvah, that prevents me. That is enough of a reason to be potter from doing another mitzvah. However, even the Arzuruo is taking this more lenient approach, this more broader application of oisik b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah, he's going to agree that at least you have to be doing something. But like we said earlier, that let's say somebody is just wearing tzitzis. Somebody who's just wearing tzitzis can't take the claim that he's an oisik b'mitzvah and he is part of a mitzvah. But then I saw that based on this, a very important question. If we're learning that the halacha is that oisik b'mitzvah is oisik b'mitzvah is part of a mitzvah, so then let's say somebody who's being oisik b'mitzvah, he sits down in the sukkah. So he shouldn't have sat down in the sukkah. He's an oisik b'mitzvah, and we're learning oisik b'mitzvah is part of a mitzvah. So it shouldn't just be that he's not obligated to sit in the sukkah. He should not be allowed to sit in the sukkah, because we know that there's is in the Torah about toisif, that if you're not supposed to do a mitzvah, then if you do something that you're not supposed to do, then that's considered b'al toisif. And if he would make a leisha b'sukkah, and somebody wanted to be yoytzer with his leisha b'sukkah, he could not be yoytzer with that leisha b'sukkah, because I'm not obligated in the mitzvah. If I'm not obligated in the mitzvah, my bracha is not a valid bracha. So the question is, how do we look at that individual? And as we've discussed in a previous year, the Avni Nezer discusses that if the Sofnes Peneach and the Oneg Yontif all discuss a situation if it's raining, that the halacha is that when it's raining, you don't have to sit in the sukkah. So why, if somebody's sitting in the sukkah when it's raining, is it not a consideration about toisif? If you're not supposed to sit then, why is it not considered a about toisif? So the Achroinim, Rebbe Chanan Zatzal and the Kibbutz Shurim say that the definition of Baal Toisif is when you change the mitzvah. The best example, if the Torah says that the tefillin is supposed to have 4 batim, and you put 5 batim in your tefillin, so you change the entire way the mitzvah is supposed to be performed. If you change the way the mitzvah is performed, that is considered Baal Toisif. Somebody who's sitting in the sukkah when it rains, somebody sitting in the sukkah when he's not obligated to sit in the sukkah, it's not pshat that he changed the mitzvah. He's not obligated to do the mitzvah, but he didn't change the entire format of the mitzvah. If he didn't change the format of the mitzvah, then it's not considered bal toisef. But the Chashuki Chemed, in discussing this, takes this a step further. He says, when we learn oisek b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah, how are we to understand that halacha? Are we to understand that halacha of oisek b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah is that he's not obligated and he shouldn't be doing the mitzvah? Or is rather the interpretation of oisek b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah, mean that he's like an oinus? Let's say somebody is in a position where he's unable to do the mitzvah. So we know there's a rule, b'chol ha'tayra kula, oinus rachmana patrei. If somebody is unable to do the mitzvah, he doesn't have to do the mitzvah. Does that mean that he doesn't have the mitzvah? Does that mean that he's a person that doesn't have that mitzvah? Of course not. He's a person that has that mitzvah, but he's an oinus, and there's a rule throughout Torah of oinus rachmana patrei. The Torah exempts an oinus from having to have to do the mitzvah. Says the Chashuki Chemed, that's how we're supposed to look at an oisek b'mitzvah as well. An individual who's an oisek b'mitzvah, let's not look at him, he explains, as somebody who is not obligated in the mitzvah. He is obligated, but the Torah gave him an exemption. If he doesn't want to exercise that exemption, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a mitzvah. If that's the approach to look at this, then all the questions we asked are answered. He could sit in the sukkah. There's no bat toisef. He didn't exercise his exemption. If he makes a bracha, of course he can make a bracha, even though he's not chayiv, but he is chayiv. He just has an exemption that he's an oinus, and he didn't exercise his exemption. And that's why we could look at it the same way if it's raining. If it's raining and he sits in the sukkah when it's raining, it's not that he's not getting a mitzvah. He has an exemption. Mitzvah, potem in a sukkah. He isn't exercising his exemption, but if he wants to, he could sit in the sukkah and it wouldn't be a problem. Ask the Gemara. We learned from the pasuk of Shivtecha b'beisecha v'lechtecha b'derech that oisek b'mitzvah, potem b'mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, how does the pasuk teach that? Amar Rav Huna says Rav Huna, because we compare it to a derech. Ma derech, the derech that he's traveling on is rishus, he's going just for his own business. Af kol rishus, if he's living his life, he has to do the mitzvah of krishmo, any other mitzvah. Lahai, dosik b'mitzvah. If he's doing a mitzvah, then he's not obligated while he's doing the mitzvah to do anything else. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it's a very similar concept that we discussed earlier, asks, how can we learn the halacha of oisek b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah from krishma to sukkah? By krishma, he just passively, sheval taisa, not saying krishma. Here, this person is eating chutz l'sukkah. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks that the Torah didn't say you're not allowed to eat outside of the sukkah. The Torah says you have to eat in the sukkah, and this person is exempt. Who says the Gemara, why are we saying that the pasuk is referring to somebody who's going to dvar mitzvah? Can't we say the pasuk is talking about that he's going to dvar mitzvah, and still the kamer rechmana likri, and still the Torah says you have to read krishma? Answers the Gemara, if that's what the Torah meant to say, that even when you're going to do a mitzvah, you're obligated to say krishma, so imkein le'makra, then the Torah should have said b'sheves u'beleches. Why did the Torah use the word b'shiftecha, my b'shiftecha belechtecha? Why did the Torah use the words b'shiftecha belechtecha? To teach us beleches the doch hu mechayiv. If you're going on your own business trip, so you have to stop to say krishma. Ha'beleches the mitzvah, but if you're going on to do a mitzvah, then the halacha is the halacha is p'tiris yipater. So I saw the Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody's saying krishma or kaddish or kedusha, he's allowed to stop in the middle. If somebody's saying krishma, he could stop for kaddish, kedusha, or baruchu. But why don't we say oisek b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah? And he should not be allowed to stop because he's an oisek b'mitzvah. So he explains, so I saw Reb Aaron Leib Steinman asked this question. He says that when somebody is stopping where he's allowed to stop, that's not considered that he's interrupting his mitzvah. That's all part of the mitzvah. Krishma's tefillah, and then there are halachas and hilchas tefillah. What takes place before more over one over the other. And therefore, it's not considered a situation that you're violating Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. So ask the Gemara, if now we learned there's a concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah, afil kailos as almona nami, so why only when somebody is married, marrying a psula, is he exempt from Krishma? Why shouldn't somebody marry almona also? Because at the beginning, the way Tosfos explains in Masechta Brachos, we thought that it has to do with somebody who's preoccupied. But now we're saying that the concept is Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. So if the point is that Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah, so somebody who's marrying an almana is also an Oisik b'mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, Kainis b'sula tarid, somebody who's marrying a psula, as we discussed a few moments ago, is very preoccupied. That's why he has the exemption. Kainis b'sula loy tarid. So the Gemara is saying there's two factors to take into consideration. One is, are you being oisik b'mitzvah? And the other factor to take into consideration, are you preoccupied? Says the Gemara, if that's the factor to take in consideration, if you're preoccupied, does that mean you're potter from a mitzvah? Elamata, tavas finas b'yom. If somebody, unfortunately, his boat drowned, the turret, so he's certainly preoccupied. Hachanami the potter, are you going to say that he's potter from Krishma? V'chi tema, says the Gemara, Hachanami, if you'll say maybe that indeed so is the halacha. Ask the Gemara, v'amar of Abba Bazavda, amar Rav. Aval chay b'chal mitzvahs hamus b'tayrah, and aval is mechayiv in all mitzvahs that the Torah tells us to do, chutz min tefillin. The only mitzvah that aval is part of from is tefillin, shoynem and per. The pasuk calls tefillin a per. So a Rashi explains, if somebody is wearing tefillin, it shows that he's not an aval. An aval doesn't act in that way. As I saw the Rishonim explain, the tefillin are called a pair. The tefillin are called a crown. An oval is not in a position to wear a crown. But a krishma, an oval is chayiv. But an oval is certainly preoccupied. And still, the Torah is saying that still he's mechuyev mitzvahs. So why? Answers the Gemara, preoccupation doesn't just give you an exemption. And we have to look at what type of preoccupation is. Hachatar tir de mitzvah. When you're busy with a mitzvah, the chassan who's marrying, that's a tir that exempts you from the mitzvah. Hassam, the oval, and certainly somebody whose ship drowned, tar tir de rishos. And of course, an oval is mechuyev mitzvahs, but the chiv an oval, explains the Aruch Haner, is a chiv of avelus, is a chiv of tsar. But there is no chiv of preoccupation, and therefore that's not considered part of the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, how is the mitzvah part of the mitzvah? Me'achon nafka, is this halacha learned from Krishma? Ask the Gemara, me'hasim nafka, it's learned from the Tanya. The pasuk says regarding the making of the Karan Pesach. The pasuk says, v'hi anoshim asher tmeilim nefesh adam. There were people who were tamei, v'lo yochlu lasas a pesach b'yom ahu. They couldn't make the Karan Pesach, v'yikrivu lufnei Moshe lufnei Aaron b'yom ahu. Says the Gemara, oisam anoshim, these people who mihayu, who were these people? So I saw the Rishonim ask, what do you mean who mihayu? Unfortunately, there were 600,000 people in the Midbar, and people unfortunately die all the time. So what's the question, mihayu? So I saw that the raw answers that a person who lost a close relative is certainly, we understand, tamei, and he can't bring a Karan Pesach. We wouldn't have a parsha in the Torah that says, lom and nigara, that they came to Moshe Rabbeinu with a concern, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, and Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you know, maybe you should be chayiv, maybe you shouldn't be chayiv. Obviously, there should be chayiv. Who are these people? Says the Gemara, Oysa Noshim Mihayu, Noisa Aroina Shal Yosef. They were the people that carried Darn of Yosef, and therefore they were Tomei, and therefore they came to ask what's their status of the Karm Pesach, Divar Reb Yosef Glili. Reb Kiva Omer, who were they? Mishavel Tzofen Hayo. They were Mishavel Tzofen, Shai Oiskin, but Nadav and Aviyu. We know that on the first day of Nisan, Nadav and Aviyu, the Torah says, brought an Eish Zoro Lefnei Hashem, Ashloi Tzivaisom, which Hashem had not told them to do, and the Pasuk says they got burnt. And then the Pasuk says, V'yikra Moshe Mishavel Tzofen B'nei Uziel Doid Aaron, V'yoyim Aleim Kirvesu Esachechem Eis P'nei HaKadosh. And they were told that you should be the people to take them out. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Im Noisa Aronis Shal Yosef Hayu, if these people were the people who carried out the Aronis Shal Yosef, Kfar Hayu Yichayim Letar, they were more than 10 months from when they left Mitzrayim. So they easily could have become Tar. Why are they asking now Moshe Rabbeinu, what is our status for the Karban Pesach? And even if they were, Mishol Tzofen Hayu, Yichayim Hayu Letar, Moshe, as we just said, they died on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and they could have been matan themselves. It takes 7 days. Why was now Erev Pesach? Did the question come up? What is our status? What with the Karban Pesach? Says the Gemara, these people oiskim be meis mitzvah hayu. They were taking care of a meis mitzvah, and shechal. They were people that were busy with a base mitzvah. It doesn't have to be specifically a base mitzvah, I saw the Mefarshim explain. They were busy with Levayis. Relatives of theirs had passed away, and they became Tomei with taking care of them. And Erev Pesach was the seventh day. Shechal Shvi Shalhem, Erev Pesach. Shnema, as the Pasuk says, V'layoch lasa Pesach b'yoymahu, and the Pasuk is teaching us b'yoymahu, that day Erev Pesach, ein yichol lasos, because they were still Tomei. Because the halach is that if somebody becomes Tomei with a Tumas Meis, he has to go through a Tahara process with the Paraduma, which takes 7 days. But this was the seventh day, so today they were still Tomei, but by tonight they'll be fine. Halamachar, yicholim lasos. But what do we see? That a person is allowed to become Tomei to bring the carbon, and even though it will prevent them from bringing the carbon Pesach. Here, the question was a unique situation. With a carbon Pesach, this was the seventh day. Today we're Tomei, tonight we're not. If they wouldn't be Tar till tomorrow, there would be no question that they couldn't bring the carbon Pesach. How did they become Tamei if they know it's going to cause them not to be able to bring the Karm Pesach? From here we see that somebody who's Oisik B'mitzvah is part of a mitzvah and they're allowed to become Tamei. And that's what is now the Gemara's question. So why did we have to use B'shivtecha B'esecha B'lechtecha B'derech to teach us Oisik B'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah? Why isn't this a good enough source? But one of the things we learn from here is that somebody who becomes Tomei, even to a tzaddik, somebody who's exposed to Tumas Meis, even of a tzaddik, the halacha is that he's still considered Tomei. Because the Noisei Aroina Shel Yosef were exposed to the Oren of Yosef at tzaddik. And yet the Torah says, as the Gemara teaches us, they were considered Tomei. And this is the Medrash teaches us, that Rabbi Kiva was in jail, and Rabbi Kiva passed away, and Rabbi Shua Garsi was preparing on Erev Yontif. Rabbi Huda Garsi was preparing for Yontif, and Al Yohan Novi came to tell him that Rabbi Kiva was nifter in jail, and the Medrash says that Rabbi Shua Garsi and Al Yohan Novi went to take care of Rabbi Kiva, bring him to Kfuras Yisrael. But don't we know that Eliyahu HaNavi is a Kohen? And Rabbi Shua Garsi asked Eliyahu HaNavi, how are you being involved in the Kvura of Rabbi Kiva? Aren't you a Kohen? So Eliyahu HaNavi answered him, Dayach Rabbi Yeshua B'ni, Your question, don't ask your question. Chas v'sholem. She'ein tam b'tzadikim v'afloi b'tamidideim. So we see that this medrash says that he was allowed to be metame himself because he was a tzaddik. And here it seems that we have a very clear raya that he's not allowed to be, that a mace is metame. So some explain that Rabbi Kiva was a mace mitzvah. And even though a kohen is not allowed to be metame to a mace, he is allowed to be metame to a mace mitzvah. But Tosfos in Masechta Ksubos Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis quotes Reb Chaim HaKohen, who says that somebody who's a Gol B'Yisrael, Kohanim allowed to be metame to such a person because he's a Gol B'Yisrael. And he writes, I Reb Chaim HaKohen, would be metame myself to Reb Tarfin. The Chochmas Adam points out that even if we'll hold that a Kohen is allowed to be metame himself to a Meis Mitzvah, that doesn't mean that he's not Tamei. And according to that, explains the Chochmas Adam, we could understand our Gemara. Even if we'll say that they were allowed to be metam themselves to Reina Shal Yosef, that a Kohen is allowed to be metam himself to Reina Shal Yosef, that doesn't mean that they don't become Tamei. La'aloch l'maisa, the Sefer Pasa Shulchan, and all the Paiskim as well, Paskin and Mechsalaza Paskin is that way, that there is no heter, there is no exemption to be for one to be metam himself to a for Kohen to be metam himself to anyone, and so too is the opinion of the Divrei Yecheskel in the Shalos HaTshuvos, Divrei Yecheskel Siman Aleph, that there's no heter for Kohen to be metam himself for any mace mitzvah. I saw that the Sefer, the Pnei Yeshua, asks a question. Here, the Pasuk says that Mishon and Litzofen became Tamin to Nadav and Aviyu. And the question is that why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Mishon and Litzofen to become Tamei? Why didn't he ask the Noisei Aroina Shal Yosef? The people who were already Tamei because they were busy with the Aroina Shal Yosef, they should be told to do this. And they're Tamei anyway. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu pick new people? So he says that involving taking Mishal and Tzofen out of the Beis HaMikdash meant that you had to go in. And somebody who's Tamei may not go into the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the people who were Noisei Aroina Shel Yosef weren't allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash because they were Tamei. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu chose Mishal and Tzofen, who were not Tamei, so they may enter the Beis HaMikdash to remove Nadav and Aviyu. And yes, now unfortunately, they're going to become Tamei. But back to our question. So why do we need B'shiftach HaBeisach HaBalatach HaBaderach to teach us Oysu V'mitzvah, Patim and HaMitzvah? Answers the Gemara. The Ashmin HaHasam, if we only learned it by the case of Tama, Mishum D'loy Matas Mach Yuv V'Pesach. When they became Tamei, it wasn't yet Pesach. Avlocha the Matas Mach Krishma. If this Mach Krishma already came, Emeloy, we should not be part of Krishma. The Chosin should not be part of Krishma Tzricha. Vishmin HaHacha, if we only heard it by Chosin, Mishum D'loy Karas. We know there are only two mitzvahs to say that if one doesn't perform those mitzvahs to say, the Chai Karas. Pesach and Mila. So here, since we're talking about Korban Pesach, which is such a serious mitzvah to say, it carries with it a chiyuv koras, eim aloy, we shouldn't say by such a mitzvah the concept of esek b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, that's why it's tzricha. We have to teach the halacha of esek b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah in both situations. Says the Gemara, Gufa, Omer of Abba Bezavda, Omer Rav, Ovel chayiv b'chol mitzvah amuras b'toira, and Ovel is chayiv in all mitzvahs in the Torah, chutz min tefillin. Tefillin, he's exempt, as we said earlier, shirinem ben pe'er. The Torah calls the tefillin a pe'er, and as we explained, an oval, it's not appropriate, should be wearing a crown. K'amalei rachmona, and the raya is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel, percha chavish lalecha. The pasuk in Yecheskel, perik chavdalad, psukim tezvov to chavdalad, tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yechezkel that his wife is going to pass away, and Torah says to him, that you shouldn't cry and do a hesped as we normally do for an aval. And the Torah says, that you, atud mechayiv, that you, even though you're an aval, should continue wearing tefillin. Avakula alma, everybody else, p'tiri, are potter from wearing tefillin when they're availim. The hanimili, continues the Gemara, when does that exemption exist? B'yom rishon, on the first day of the avelis. Av the ksib, because that day is called v'chrisa kiyomar, that's considered the day that you potter. There's a machloikus in the paiskim, if the day of the kvura is not the day of the p'tira, is the oval still not put on tefillin? Certainly the oval doesn't put on tefillin until after the kvura. The question is, is the oval potter till after the, even the day of the kvura, or only till after the kvura? The Taz's psak is that he is not allowed to put on tefillin till after the day of the kvura, even if the day of the kvura is not the same as the day of the p'tira. The Meritz and the Chai Adam say that if the Yom Kvura is not the same as the Yom Misa, so then on the Yom Misa you don't put on tefillin. And the Yom Kvura, after the Kvura, you could still put on tefillin. Omarav Abba Bazavda Omarav, Oval Chai B'Sukkah. Oval is obligated to sit in the Sukkah. Pshita, just like we learned that Oval is Chayiv in all mitzvahs, so he's Chayiv in Sukkah. Why do we have to say that he's Chayiv in Sukkah? Answers the Gemara, Matatay Mahoil V'Omer Rava, Mitztar Potem in a Sukkah. There's a locha that somebody who's Mitztar has Potem in a Sukkah. And an Oval maybe is considered in the category of Mitztar. Kamash Malon, that the locha is that he's not, that he's considered, that he's Mechuyv in Sukkah. So the question is, why would he be considered a Mitztar? A Mitztar is somebody who is this uncomfortable sitting in the Sukkah. The Oval's uncomfort is the same in the house and the Sukkah. So why would we think that he's in the category of Mitztar? So the Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Reish Mem Sif Katan Yud answers this question. He says that an Oval wants to be left alone. And since the Oval wants to be left alone, that's why I would say that the Sukkah, which is a public place, he's considered a Mitztar. He wants to be alone at home. Kamash Malon, Hanimil Tsar de Memela. The Sukkah causes the Tsar. Aval Hocha, but Avelis, it's not the Sukkah that causes the Tsar. Ihu the Kamet Tsar Nafshi. The fact that he's in such a situation, that Rahman Slon is an Aval, that's not considered a Mitztar. What he's supposed to do is, Boile Yosuve Date. He's supposed to do whatever it takes to be able to fulfill the mitzvah and not say mitzvah potem in a sukkah. I saw that the Tveris Shlaim explains mitzvah potem in a sukkah, that somebody who sits in the sukkah, mitzvah potter, he becomes potter, all of the tzoros that he feels, he will no longer feel. And he says that's pshatim what we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of the shir. The Mishnah says, Chayla u'misham shein p'turim in a sukkah. Somebody who's a chayla and he's sick, p'turim in a sukkah. Go into the sukkah. And when you will go into the sukkah, p'turim in a sukkah, what it will cause that you should no longer be a chayla. Because I saw the Sefer Zer Zov explains. He says that when somebody is oisik ben mitzvah in the full-fledged way that he's supposed to do the mitzvah, it brings to him a gewaldige yishuv hadas, a fantastic clarity, a fantastic peace of mind. And he says, in fact, that's what happened by Avram Avinu. We remember the pasuk says, by Avram Avinu, v'hu yoshev pesach ha'oil k'choyim hayoyim. And then he's sitting there in pain from the bris milah. And then k'choyim hayoyim, the malachim see him, and he goes and he greets them. So he explains, Avram Avinu taking care of those malachim actually brought him a refuah. And the Kotzker explains why. He says, because in a sukkah, you're supposed to realize, as we discussed earlier, that we're completely in the hands of Hashem. and nothing else really makes a difference. A person who doesn't have that feeling when he goes into the sukkah, so he missed the point of the sukkah. The whole point of the sukkah is to realize that our personal feelings aren't really what counts. If you can't come to that recognition, then you put them in a sukkah. There's no point for you to sit in the sukkah. Amar Abba Bazavda Amarav, Chosin for Shishbinim. The Shishbinim are the people who accompany him, that Mesameichim, he's a Chosin, and the people who take care of all of his needs. The Kabnei Chuppah, they used to have people come together with Bari Chosin, Turim in a sukkah called Shiva. They don't have to be in the sukkah for the entire days of the Sheva Brachas. My Tama, Mishum de Boy Lamechti. They're supposed to be busy taking care of the Chosin and Kala. And the Posh Pshat, the Ran and the Iri explain. So they're Oisik b'mitzvah, Patim in a mitzvah. And they don't have to do anything else. The Ran explains, they're in the category of Mitzvah. They're supposed to be busy with the chassan, and if they're going to have to keep on running to the sukkah, then they can't do what they're supposed to be doing, and that's why they're mitzvah. Another pshat that the Rishonim say, the halacha, as we speak about Hilchos Sukkah, is teishvu kein tadura. So just like somebody leaves his home to do what he has to do with the chassan kala, so too are you allowed to leave the sukkah to do what you have to do with the chassan kala. Ask the Gemara, but why? Let them eat in the sukkah with the chassan, and then be besimcha with him, all in the simcha, in the sukkah. Answers the Gemara, ain't simcha ela b'chuppah. The simcha took place in the place that they call the chuppah. That's where the simcha takes place, not anywhere else. Ask the Gemara, but why? Lech le b'sukkah, let them eat in the sukkah, and then be mesameich the chassan kala in the chuppah. Answers the Gemara, ain't simcha el b'makom suda. The simcha and the suda travel together. And since the simcha and the suda travel together, you can't have them in two different places. Ask the Gemara, so let's leave the chuppah b'sukkah. Let's do everything in the sukkah. Answers the Gemara, abaya amma mishum yichud. What they used to do is, they used to make the sukkah on the roof of the home, and not many people were there. And if the chassan is going to have to go down, a man may remain alone with the kala and will have an issa yichud. Rava Amar, Mishum Tzara Chassan. The sukkah has to be open. The sukkah is usually open on one side. And the chassan wants to do private activities with his kala, but he can't do so in an open place. Answer the Ramai Benayu, Ikvenay the Shrichi. That there are a lot of people by that sukkah. That we're concerned that somebody's going to be left alone with the chassid, with the kala. That isn't a concern when there are many people there. Leka. That the chassid wants to be able to be in private and act in a private manner when it's kala. That will still be there. Amrav Zeira, I ate in the sukkah as a chassid. But I then had another place called the Chuppah. The Koshke and the Chadi Liboy, and that was fantastic. The Kevna Tati, I was able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Sukkah, and not only was I able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Sukkah, I also was able to act like a Chassan who's supposed to act like a Chassan. Tan Rabbanan, Chassan v'Shishbinim v'Kabanei Chuppah, Ptur min HaTfilah. They're not obligated to daven Shemone Esrei, because somebody who daven Shemone Esrei has to have kavona, and they can't concentrate because they're busy with the chosin, or not tefillin. Tefillin, you have to wear tefillin with the proper kovod rosh, with the proper seriousness, and somebody who's busy with the chosin doesn't have that seriousness. The chayovin, the krishma. But they are obligated to say Krishma, because the mitzvah of Krishma is only the first pasuk of Krishma, and that one pasuk you could say even if you're busy with this. Mishum Rav Shela, Amar Chassan Potter, the Chassan is Potter from Krishma, because the Chassan is particularly preoccupied. So since he's particularly preoccupied and he can't have Kavanah, he's Potter. Veshvin v'kabnei chuppah chayovin, because they can have the proper Kavanah when they're saying the Krishma. Tanya Amrab Chananya ben Akavya, Kaisvei Svarim, those that write Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzos, Haim, They, the Tagrayim, the people who buy it from them and sell it to others, the Tagrayim, and the middlemen and the retailers, the Kol Oiskim B'Shmecha Shemayim, the Suyim Moichre Tchelis, the people who sell the Tchelis for the Tzitzis, Ptum and Akrishman at Tfilin and at Tfilin, Makom Mitzvahs Amuris B'Toira, the Kaim Diver Rabbi Yosef Glili, to fulfill what Rabbi Yosef Glili taught us at the beginning of our Shir, Shai Yoimer, Gamliel taught us, Rabbi Yosef Glili taught us, Ha'isik bin a mitzvah is part of a mitzvah, and therefore all these people who are Isaac in the mitzvah have an exemption from doing any other mitzvah. One mitzvah supersedes all other mitzvahs.